You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday. We are back. We are doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. Fix the camera here. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And it is Ohio State week. Obviously, we have to talk a little bit about Michigan's 59-18 win over Maryland, but we're going to delve a bit, starting to kind of talk about this Ohio State game. A couple quick things before we do, though. Today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. Anyway, so let's get into it. Number one, the other thing I wanted to say is if something looks off, I don't think it does, but something looks off with the visual if you're watching on YouTube. I did drop my camera at the press conference this morning, broke the filter. I can't get the filter off, so I'm staring at a bunch of broken glass. But as far as I can tell, it doesn't affect the picture quality. Or doesn't create anything, but if there's like lines and stuff that I couldn't see just looking at the camera, then we're good to go. I couldn't get it off. Couldn't get it to the camera shop before doing this, so it is what it is. Let's move on. Let's talk about some Michigan football. Michigan with the big 59-18 win over Maryland. It was kind of, this weekend went exactly kind of like I said you wanted to see pretty much every facet of the game. Number one, Michigan State lost to Ohio State, and Ohio State won in a giant blowout situation. That's one thing I said I wanted to see happen, because it seems like those years when Ohio State limps into the game, it doesn't work out well for Michigan. So let them have that sense of confidence. And talking to some people on the ground in Maryland, they keeping them abreast of what was going on in Columbus, they feel pretty good. I mean, that doesn't mean anything necessarily, but it wasn't like a type situation of, oh no. I mean, there was some like, ugh, but from the people who really matter, they seem to be pretty confident that in the kind of things that they're starting to plan for Ohio State. I mean, again, take that for what it's worth. I've told you before about a coach before 2018 who told me we're going to kill him. Didn't exactly turn out that way. And that was a defensive coach, no less. So there, you take that for what it's worth. But you still don't want, I'd rather them not be angry and pissed off going into the game. I'd rather they feel like we are firing on all cylinders. On the other end, Michigan fired on all cylinders against Maryland. As I'd been saying, it kind of felt like a dress rehearsal for the game. In talking again to I asked some of the coaches about that again off the record before the Maryland game, and they thought that was an interesting thing, and they're like, yeah, we certainly could see some of the same things, but they really thought that Maryland was going to throw a lot of different things at them that didn't end up happening. Cover zero in particular, they thought they were going to cover zero blitz type, you know, just constantly. Didn't do that. They got their man coverage, usually single high. As far as I can recall, maybe it was too high, but I remember seeing mostly one safety back. So they were mostly in the man coverage look that they're likely to see against Ohio State. And a couple minutes that I watched of the Ohio State game, I was interested to see a couple plays defensively where they threw out some zone against Michigan State. So I guess there's going to be a little bit of a mixture of different things that you're going to see in the game. That felt like, okay, they're trying to work some things in, get Michigan to think and what have you. But for the most part, I mean, Michigan went up against man coverage and did really well with it. We saw what Donovan Edwards can do. I mean, he absolutely went beast mode in the game with 170 receiving yards, a touchdown, set up another one. I mean, just was absolutely unstoppable. Cade McNamara had a great game as well. And Cornelius Johnson did okay, I think. Am I remembering that right? There were a couple that I think he would have wanted back, but I still thought that he did okay. And Mike Sanders still with a wonderful catch as well, which we've seen him be a little bit more steady when it comes to making big type of plays. So that's a lot of good stuff. And on the other end, like I said before, like you want to going up against a prolific passing offense, you want to see what they're going to be able to, what Michigan's going to be able to do. A little bit worrisome what Maryland was able to do on the ground rushing wise, but passing wise, I mean, Michigan essentially took it away. Michigan flushed Talia Tagovailoa out quite a bit. So that tells you, like, all right, they're going to go to a different type of game plan. The fact that Jim Harbaugh, after the game, when I asked him, I said, what did you do to slow down that passing attack? He was like, I said specifically Talia, and he's like, I don't feel like we really did slow down Talia. But they did, right? They held them to the second lowest yardage of the year. So really good job by Michigan to be able to do that. That gives you a little bit of faith in what they might be able to do against Ohio State. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go out there and win, but I mean, it's, if you need a little bit of confidence that it's at least going to be a game, which is, I think, the thing that you should be looking for. Certainly a win would be nice, but I mean, it's been, what, 2 wins in the last 20 years? So last win coming 10 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years. 2011 was the last time that they beat Ohio State. But still, like, these are the things that you needed to see. A complete game, too, no less. Would have liked to see some defensive, like, obviously defense bent a little bit and broke a few times, kind of in that third quarter. But then the team kind of flexed, you know, scored 21 points before you even knew what was happening. And got it in all phases. Got one on defense, got one on offense, got one on special teams. Michigan's going to need that type of performance against Ohio State in order to win the game. Now, starting to look at some of the numbers, starting to look at some of the things with the Buckeyes and what they do well. I mean, it's kind of weird because, like, I haven't done a by the numbers post since the Michigan State game, in which I literally am just putting in the stats and, you know, like, where the team stands nationally and what that stat is. So Michigan's pass offense versus Ohio State's pass defense, so on and so forth. Michigan's pass offense obviously doesn't rank very high. Neither does Ohio State's. But the thing is that we're starting to see more and more Michigan can pass the ball. And this is something that Josh Gattis said last week, too. He's like, it's not that we can't pass the ball. It's that we don't. We can do it if we want to do it. But the thing is we generally don't. And I think that the game plan should be relatively similar to Michigan State. So anyway, let's get into all that momentarily. But before we do, let's talk a little something about something that I know you college football fanatics would love, and that's Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this. I know you will too. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all the star players of the Power 5 as well as mid-major players you might not have ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. Make your deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll receive a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. You can pick 2 to 5 players and over-under on the projections and win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. PrizePicks also allows mixed sport entries. You can take the over on LeBron, which I think Detroit Pistons fans probably don't want to do that right now, combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the Apple App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawal. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON or go to the App Store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. All right. So I started looking at the numbers here for Michigan versus Ohio State. Let me go ahead and just pull them up, so that I'm not just sitting there making stuff up and whatever. Hopefully the sound doesn't load on this as I open up my own article. But it's funny because, like, when I was going in and entering the numbers, because I hadn't really, I just used what I did for the Michigan State template, and changing a lot of Ohio State's numbers was very similar to what Michigan had against Michigan State. Some changes, of course. Obviously, the big one being Ohio State passing offense being number one in the country, passing offense being 6th, total offense 1, yards per play 1. Those are different numbers, of course. than what we've what Michigan State had. But a lot of the other metrics are kind of the same, right? I don't remember offhand what a lot of them are. Obviously, they had a lot more long plays and things of that nature, but pretty much everything else defensively, because Michigan State's pass defense was not good, for instance, going into the Michigan game, but it got way worse Michigan game forward. You might be surprised to know that Ohio State's pass defense is 99th in the country. 99th. That's about what Michigan State was at the time that those two teams played. Rushing defense, 11th. I think Michigan State was up there. It was something like 14th or something in rush defense. So Michigan should be able to take advantage of the pass. Basically, Ohio State's pass defense allows 251.7 yards per game. Michigan averages 229.5. So Michigan should be able to go above its mean average when it comes to passing the ball. You would imagine that they're going to try to do that. But there's a lot of strength on strengths in this game kind of across the board. And that's maybe some good news. Maybe it's bad news. I don't know. It's just it has to hold true to some degree on Michigan's end, which is not what happened against Michigan State, right? You went into the Michigan State game feeling like, all right, the rush defense is pretty good. Pass defense is okay. And Michigan State ran all over Michigan and the pass defense was fine. So there's some things that just need to kind of more hold true and to some degree. But it's a lot of strength on strength, like Michigan scoring offense, 15th in the country. Ohio State scoring defense, 16th. Michigan rushing offense, 15th. Ohio State rushing defense, 11th. Michigan total offense, 24th. Ohio State total defense, 44th. Michigan yards per play, 38th. Ohio State yards per play allowed, 21st. Ohio State allows 20.7 first downs a game. Michigan gets 22.2. Third down conversions, Michigan converts on 44.87. Ohio State allows 41.1, which is 91st in the country. So, I mean, there's a lot of things like that. You know, Michigan's really good in the red zone overall when it comes to scoring. Ohio State is better than average, about average when it comes to that. They stop teams 83.3% of the time. Looking at the other side of the ball, which is the scariest part, really, more so, I think. You figure Michigan, you've got Michigan scoring defense 7th to Ohio State's first ranked scoring offense. Michigan rushing defense 31st. Michigan rushing defense 31st. Ohio State rushing offense 31st. Passing defense 8th. Ohio State passing offense 6th. Michigan total defense 10th. Ohio State total offense 1st. Yards per play 10th versus 1st. Opponent first downs, 10th versus 3rd. Michigan opponent third down conversion, 11th versus 3rd. So it's a lot of stuff like that. So it'll be interesting. And it's certainly, I think, special teams can play a factor. I don't know that there's anything there that makes you say, all right, yeah, they're for sure going to get an advantage. Ohio State's good at a couple things. They're really good at kick return. They're 8th in the country as far as that's concerned. They're 5th in the country in field goals. They just missed one last week, which I believe is the only one that they've missed. But Michigan's no slouch in pretty much anything, right? Only thing that doesn't look great is kickoff return allowed. They allow 19 yards. Ohio State gets 15 yards. Other than that, and that's Michigan's actual kickoff return versus what Ohio State allows. That's not what's allowed. Michigan's coverage units are excellent. So those are the things that are interesting. Those are the things that we have to keep an eye on, because Michigan's going to need all phases of the game in order to get this win, which I don't know if they will, right? Like, I'm not predicting that they will, but it kind of feels like if Michigan can play the type of game that Penn State or Nebraska, some of these other teams have played against Ohio State, if it isn't something where it looks like the last two times these two teams have played, then there's a shot, right? I mean, there's certainly a shot. It's a home game. I think that's really important, right? Because we haven't seen the game have big implications in being Ann Arbor in a while, right? 2015 was close, but because Ohio State lost to Michigan State the week before, Michigan State had clinched, they were going forward. As long, well, I don't know if they officially clinched or did they? Yeah, I think they did. They officially clinched the week before by beating Ohio State. So that one was a little bit different. 2016 and 2018, years that Michigan had it on the line, they were on the road. I think Michigan's fixed the glitch, so to speak, in the Office Space sense of it, in the sense of Don Brown, you know, and all of that type of stuff. I don't think Ryan Day is going to have the beat on Mike McDonald the way that he did Don Brown. That doesn't mean that they won't be able to score and they won't be able to do a lot of things. They might just be, when it comes down to execution and no, understanding some flaws that might exist in the Michigan defense, or being able to, you know, pull the safeties up or something, or the linebackers up, whichever you want, in a situation where they want to, you know, do play action or something like that. It certainly could change things. But I'm very emboldened by some of the things we've seen from Mike McDonald in recent weeks. So, with that in mind, I mean, this game is, I don't want to say that it when it's winnable in the sense that I think Michigan will win. I still am predicting a Michigan loss. I'm holding true to that. Ohio State has the best offense in the country. But I think some of the interesting things are, from what I can garner from Pro Football Focus, and we'll talk to Anthony Treisch about this tomorrow on Tuesday. It seems like C.J. Stroud hasn't necessarily faced a ton of pressure as far as the time that he has to throw. Seems like he has all day. If Michigan could find a way to get generate pressure with Aiden and Ojabo, even if they don't get home, because, like, for instance, I saw some people saying, I think it was on the RCMB because I went over there for some good old schadenfreude, saying, like, oh, you know, Talia Tagovailoa is just missing open guys. Well, why is that? It's not always just because he was inaccurate. Part of it is because he's forced into being inaccurate, right? Sean Clifford missed, not open, but completely missed Jahan Dotson on the last play against Michigan Penn State. Why is that? It's in large part because the pressure that was coming at him and the kind of things that Michigan was doing in the middle, right? Like, they showed blitz with Mike Morris and Taylor Upshaw, and both backed into those crossing routes. So I like the ingenuity that we're starting to see more and more from Mike McDonald. You feel like when he was hired, there had to be a plan of, like, hey, we need to figure out a way to stop this train. I don't know that you're going to stop it by any stretch, but other teams have certainly slowed it down. Penn State slowed it down, you know? Penn State's still got a really good defense. It's still ranked really high, and I think it's just getting ranked higher as weeks go by. As far as, like, what other, I think FPI had it rated fourth in the country or something like that. They might not be ranked that high as far as total defense allowed. I mean, Michigan is the second in the third in the conference behind Wisconsin at one, Minnesota at four, then Michigan's there at 10th. Penn State's up to 28th. They were 40th just a couple weeks ago. You know, it's one of those things where some teams have had success in slowing down the Ohio State offense to a degree. And bend, don't break might work a little bit. Might. Not 100% sure. But nonetheless. Now, just again, looking at what I had mistaken for the Ohio State defense last week, their offense, again, not many people have slowed them down. They're going to get 500 yards, just about. That's just what they do. It's pretty much no way to stop that. It's just how much can you mitigate that, right? Penn State had the best performance against them, 466. Nebraska was close, 495. Tulsa had only, granted, C.J. Stroud wasn't playing in that game, but 508. Minnesota had 495 as well, so they tied with Nebraska. If you can get that type of performance, then you give yourself a shot. And the fact that you have an offense that, assuming that Michigan can pass the ball on them, which they should be able to, and you can run enough to keep it honest, then that gives you a shot. The other thing that I think is really important when you look at this game is time of possession. Ohio State does not have a very high time of possession, yet it does obviously what it does offensively and, you know, has the number one scoring offense in the country. If Michigan can really, really grind the game down, you know, down to a halt, take all the time off the clock in the world, and just move the ball slowly and methodically, then that really gives them a chance. That really, really gives them a chance. I don't think I can look up what time of possession was in some of these other games just quickly. But I'm curious to see, like, with Penn State and Nebraska, what they were able to do. Because Nebraska held Ohio State to 26 points. That's their lowest that they were able to score all season long. Oregon held them to 28. Penn State held them to 33. If you can hold them to or around 30, you give yourself a chance. All right. Let's move on. We're going to continue talking about the game because enough about Maryland and all of that. I can tell you about DC. I mean, I love it there. It's so incredible. But anyway, before we move on, I got to tell you a little something about Built Bar. I have had two Built Bars today because not because I'm a glutton. I am a glutton, but that's not why. But because they are that delicious. If you don't know what it is, it's a candy bar that tastes like a protein bar. It's the other way around. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. But I had to because I wanted to use it as my breakfast meal replacement, especially after the gluttony that existed for me in Washington, D.C., and even a little bit yesterday. Nonetheless, the great thing about it is low calorie, low carb, high protein. So I can have two of those, two Built Bars. I had my coconut brownie chunk today. Yesterday at lunch, I had one coconut brownie chunk and one peanut butter brownie, and I can feel better than getting a Metrics Big 100 because it's even less calories. I can have 300 calories and like 40 grams essentially of protein just to be able to do that. But I am telling you, because I have put my money where my mouth is, I have two boxes that I bought with my own money upstairs. I just used the promo code LOCKED15 at Built.com to get 15% off. Like I always do, I have bought, it has to be somewhere around 30 boxes so far of Built Bar with my own money. Even though they send me samples and sometimes a random box arrives, I'm still like, oh, cool, another box of Built Bar. I'm going to buy more. That's how it goes. So go to Built.com, put in promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order of Built Bar. All right, so last kind of stuff that I want to get into here with this game. I think it's interesting. Number one, I think the line is interesting right now, right? Because Michigan State was like a 19-point underdog, and they didn't come anywhere close with that. I think it's funny seeing them try to be like, well, we beat Michigan, and then, you know, we lost to Ohio State 56-7, so they will win by like 60 points. You know, I don't think it's how it works, right? Each game is its own thing. You can't fully transitive property anything to death. Otherwise, I don't know. I get the only thing you can transitive property is kind of like, well, Nebraska is going to lose by one score against every team it plays, right? That's pretty much it. I think that the interesting thing is that I lost it completely. I completely lost my train of thought. I just think this game has the opportunity to be something for Michigan, right? Like if it is like that close, if it is like a 7.5-point deal, I like what someone brought up on the mailbag last week about Cade McNamara being a gamer, because I do think that he is that. I'm curious to see. I'm sure they're going to work in some JJ. I mean, maybe it's like Penn State and they don't, and it's just Cade all the way. I would honestly be a little bit surprised. I think that you'll see some JJ for something. They'll have something planned for him to see what can happen. You just hope that you don't have a big mistake. That's going to be the other big thing. Michigan can't make the big mistake in this game, right? You can survive other games and have that. You just cannot do it against Ohio State. And it seems like every year there is something big that they do. Now, what they need to do is something that's kind of the opposite, right? They need to force something big. And I feel like it's been a little while since C.J. Stroud. He's only got 5 interceptions on the year, but I feel like it's been a little while. Like, he had his first 3 interceptions in the first 3 games. He had 2 against Nebraska. So that's where something has to, like, give, right? You have to force them into something. You can't. The good news is, like, this offense has been playing mistake-free football for the most part. You need to get probably a score either on defense or special teams, maybe both. And hey, Ohio State hasn't seen a pass rush like Michigan's, I don't think, right? All year. I'd be curious. I haven't really looked at what the pass rush grades are as far as that's concerned. But I mean, obviously Michigan is better than sacks and tackles for loss show. Even though, you know, you've got two guys with 10 sacks, in Hutchinson and David Ajabo, I think you got an opportunity to really change things offensively. If like you can get CJ Stroud off his spot, get someone in his face. I mean, you got to hit him whenever you can legally and make him second guess everything, make him not really feel like he is comfortable back there. But you also can't lose Travion Henderson, both in the run game and in the pass game, and hope that some of those things that you've kind of started to work out with Donovan Edwards, maybe you see another big game from a guy like Andrell Anthony. You know, you need all of that stuff, and then you can't have like what happened against Michigan State. You have to have the opposite of that, right? You can't just be like, well, this bad thing happened, then this bad thing happened, then this bad thing happened. It has to be a lot of like really good stuff, right? It's just all across the board, you know? It just has to be a lot of really, really good stuff. You can't be anything like that. So as far as pass rush grades, Michigan has two guys in the top 20, which obviously makes all sense. Aiden Hutchinson is number 5 in the country. It's behind an Army guy, South Carolina guy, Leo Chanel from Wisconsin, and Micah McFadden from Indiana. Then you've got David Ajabo sitting at number 20. So what's interesting is that when you look at some of these, like Michigan's at least played Wisconsin, which I think is really good for them compared to Ohio State, right? Ohio State has a tough rushing defense, has a tough defense overall. But I think that, again, I have a lot of faith in what Michigan's able to do because it was able to do what it did against Wisconsin. The problem is stopping this offense. You get some faith based off the fact that, hey, they were able to stop Maryland, who very well could have been a really good team as far as that's concerned. So Michigan has the number 3 pass rush overall, according to Pro Football Focus, when I'm looking at teams. Then Ohio State has the number 21. So, but Michigan faced Wisconsin, which is 8th. Again, that game helps you a lot. Western Michigan's 11th. I don't think that counts very much for Michigan because, you know, it is what it is. But Ohio State's 20th. Michigan State's 24th. So with that in mind, the best pass rush that Ohio State has faced this year is Michigan State at 24th. No, it did not look good. But again, they have a really bad pass defense. Behind that, Oregon at 26th. Michigan's at least going to be by far the best pass rush that they have seen. As far as overall defense, Michigan is rated number 2 by Pro Football Focus. This will be by far the best defense that they have seen. Michigan has, as an offense, had good job against Wisconsin, number 3. So as far as, again, teams defensively, I mean, Ohio State's ranked 29th by Pro Football Focus. Teams that they have faced defensively, I don't see anyone ranked above them that they have faced that have like a highly rated defense. So maybe Ohio State's somewhat shell-shocked. Maybe. I'm not sure. We'll see. Penn State's 39th. I think that's the highest that they have faced. No, Tulsa is 34th. That's the best defense per ranking on Pro Football Focus that they've seen. All right. So that's going to do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow with Anthony Treisch from Pro Football Focus to start talking about this game, his expectations. I'll try to get a prediction from him. I'm sure it's going to be Ohio State because I think everyone that is trying to keep a level head about themselves, looking at this objectively, will say that, but I'm curious to see if he thinks it'll be a game. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. Thank you for watching and/or listening. Peace.